Hello, everybody. Welcome to Josh Peck Disclosure. We have a very special guest, a first-timer on this show, Michaela Peterson. Michaela, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So this is kind of interesting for me because a lot of the problems that you've had to deal with, I've also had to deal with throughout my life. And it was actually through hearing your dad, Jordan Peterson, on Joe Rogan's show. He talked about this thing called the carnivore diet. And the more he talked about it, the more that really sounded appealing to me because I've always had every morning I crave protein. I don't really crave carbs or anything. It's mostly protein. So I wanted to try it out after hearing him talk about it. And I started it July 4th and I've lost 20 pounds, which is great.
Wow.
And also, just real quick for our audience, I did promise an announcement in this interview. My wife, Christina, is pregnant. This will be our fourth baby. So,
oh, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to announce it on this. I figured this is probably the interview most people are going to watch. So, so we're excited. But especially after having all these kids and everything, I started thinking I really need to get healthy. What's the best way to do this that I will actually do? Because I'm also... kind of a simple person, and keto stuff is great, but you got to learn so much about it. And I just know me, I won't do it.
Yeah.
So, for those who might not be familiar with you or what you've been doing, for one thing, shame on them because they've been living under a rock, but, could you give us an introduction to, this is before we get to the carnivore diet stuff, but just your background, how all this started for you. Cause you had a bunch of medical issues too, that I think a lot of my audience, can relate to.
Yeah. So, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 7. I started showing symptoms when I was 2. I was diagnosed with severe familial depression, summer of grade 5. So I would have been, I think that makes me 10. And then I started getting other symptoms like, extreme fatigue. Eventually I was diagnosed with idiopathic hypersomnia. Around 14, I got super tired and then I got this entire body itch that didn't go away And then at 17, my arthritis took a turn for the worse, even though I was on immune suppressants and I ended up needing a hip and an ankle replacement. When I went away to university when I was 19, the depression got significantly worse. My fatigue got worse. I gained 30 pounds in the first year. And I ended up dropping out of, I was at Concordia in Montreal in Canada. And I ended up dropping out and going home. And I ended up losing a bit of the weight because I stopped surviving off of Mr. Noodles and beer. And so I started looking into diet in 2015 after being extremely skeptical about diet have anything to do with really any type of health problem. I always thought things were, well, kind of what people still think, that if you're overweight, it's an exercise issue. Like when I gained weight, I was exercising and it wasn't making a difference. And I was like, well, it's just something I'm not doing well enough. I definitely didn't even consider it had anything to do with mental health. And then I came across a couple of, well, after a whole bunch of research, I came across some evidence that gluten might be causing some skin issues that had also arose. And I cut out gluten. And then, well, over the next 3 years, I slowly transitioned into what I'm doing now, which is literally beef, salt, and water.
Mm. What was the depression like starting off? Because I think there's a lot of people... I also was diagnosed with depression when I was younger. I don't have it anymore, but I did then. That plus, what did they call it? Borderline bipolar disorder and a slew of other things. But people who aren't familiar with that, it's almost impossible to really describe how bad it is in a way that somebody who's never suffered it can relate to it. But for those who have just no clue, never felt it before, what would be your best your best attempt at trying to describe what that sort of feeling is like?
Well, I guess it's kind of a combination of things. It kind of feels like if something really, really terrible happens to you, like somebody close to you dies and you mourn.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of felt like that for me. So it kind of felt like mourning. it also, like, if you're ever in a situation where, this is specific, but you think you're in a lot of trouble,
yeah,
and you get really stressed out about the trouble. So it's kind of, that is included in it. And then what else? Morning trouble. It's worse than that. Like it's worse. There isn't anything. Oh, and I guess I would liken it to pain. Like, so I've been through a number of surgeries and everything and arthritis. And now that both are gone, I would have chosen the arthritis over the depression, even though it led to such horrible, like the hip and an ankle replacement are not easy. I still would have chosen that, because being depressed is like pain in your soul. It's so awful.
I can definitely relate to that. I have a rare bone disease called Trevor's disease. It causes degeneration and abnormal bone growths on my right hip, knee, and ankle. I actually just got out of a knee surgery for that. I've had my right hip replaced. I'm going to have my ankle replaced at some point.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. So similar to you, not the exact same thing, but you know, really similar to what you've had to deal with. But
oh, man.
I am right with you. I would much rather take the physical pain than the depression. And I think most people would be surprised to hear that unless they went through it, but it's because physical pain, it's almost just like surface level, you know, you know what you're getting into, you know what it is. But for me, it was emotional pain or the depression. There was always this despair about it because I didn't know what was causing it, how to fix it, what exactly it was. You know, when I'm in pain, it's because my nerves and, you know, we get all that. Depression, who knows what's causing that, you know?
Yeah, and you blame things, right? So you end up blaming people closest to you. So you're like, well, why do I feel like this? Something must be wrong. What could possibly be wrong? And then you identify a whole bunch of things that, and a lot of the time, at least for me, those weren't real.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't actual problems.
Was it always external stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I knew I was depressed, so that helped. Yeah. But it's still hard to be so aware that you don't look for external factors.
That's right.
So yeah, it was always like relationships were hard because I'd take it out on whoever I was with at the time, be like, well, it must be something you're doing. Yeah. Not same good. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. And, there came a time in my life where, I still don't know. And by now I'm just a total believer that diet plays a large role in this, because at the time I was working at McDonald's. So I was also extremely poor because I was working at McDonald's, but McDonald's would give me free food. So that's what started just this horrible cycle, and it got worse and worse. But eventually after the bone disease, strangely enough, the bone disease getting so bad where I had to quit my job and get on disability actually saved me, because it got me off of that terrible diet. I wasn't on a great diet after that. I mean, it was, well, like you said, pretty much ramen noodles and beer, but but there is something in that, I think, that getting off of that McDonald's diet every day helped my depression enough where I was able to get off medication. And just for the audience, I'm not recommending that people do that. That was just the case for me. But well, I mean, if you're eating McDonald's, stop eating McDonald's, but I wouldn't recommend people just stop taking their pills. But I did, but I still had a lot of problems. What really did it for me was when I realized I had to stop blaming external things, you know, like people in my life or my family or, you know, just whatever was going on. And I had to start, you know, looking inwardly. So that helped a lot. Recently, what got the last bit of it away was this carnivore thing, because I, my life, you know, is going great and everything. But the past 3 or 4 months, I would go to sleep every night. I would fall into a deep sleep for about 5 or 10 minutes, then wake right up and just feel like anxiety, like doom, like I was gonna die.
Doom.
Like,
oh yeah.
Oh man. And it wasn't like I had a physical reaction to it, but it wasn't physically like I thought. It was like a mental thing. Like I just thought I was gonna die, and then it was scaring me. I would like think people were gonna break into the house and like murder us in our sleep. Just all these illogical things. Since starting doing this carnivore diet, after about 4 days, that stopped. And I've been having the best sleep in my life. So I absolutely believe that, mental, at least some of them are connected to diet. So you switched your whole diet around. Now you're only doing beef, salt, and water. What are the benefits that you're seeing from that? How long did it take to see a change? And is this something that you would recommend for other people?
So for people suffering from, especially like mental health problems, and they're suffering, there isn't anything. I haven't experienced it. I've experienced enough pain that's comparable, but other than pain, I haven't experienced anything that awful. And yes, I would suggest do something drastic. At least try this out.
Yeah.
The transition, so people get scared because they go onto it and then they try it for about 2 weeks and stop. And it takes longer than 2 weeks. So sometimes, especially people suffering from mental health problems, 2 weeks is when things start to get weird. Like the carb cravings are really bad. Your digestion can get messed up. Your anxiety can worsen. So you have to give it a solid shot for a month. And I would suggest going down to beef, salt, and water. Like some of the foods people include when they don't know as much about diet, or like people stick with bacon, and bacon a lot of the time has added ingredients. And I know those affect me. So it's sugar, nitrates, whatever else you can add to bacon. So cured meats, I wouldn't recommend. I just recommend going down to that. And then you can always see how you feel in like 4 to 6 weeks, and then add one food back in at a time, or do whatever you want, but try and get rid of the problem first and then make your decisions. But some people are like, oh, well, just try and cut out one thing at a time. And
seems like that would take a long time.
It did. I mean, I did it. I went down, I cut out gluten first, and that helped a little bit. And then I cut out quite a few foods. I went down to about 25 foods, which seem like a lot now that there's two if you include salt. And yeah, it was painful, and trying to reintroduce foods and having these horrible like mental health and arthritic reactions. If I had known that going just to be wouldn't kill me, I would have just done that first. I just didn't know that that was an option.
Yeah, that's why I tried keto, and I've got plenty of friends that have had nothing but, you know, benefits and wonderful things to say about keto. For me, I tried it. I gave it an honest shot, but I'm so busy. It's too complicated. I can't count carbs, and I won't. You know, I know myself really well what I will and won't do, and it, you know, it's not that I'm taking a stand against it. It's just I know that I won't. That's what I like about this, because it's really easy. You know, you fry up a ribeye and you're good. You know, do you think, cause I've had, in my audience, there's a lot of people in it who, have gravitated to this channel because, I suffer from chronic pain, and a lot of them do too. So because of that, you know, every once in a while I'll get, you know, people who recommend different things. And, there have been some people who have said that, they've tried like an all vegan diet or something that's like drastically different, like all vegan. And then they've said that that's helped with their, chronic pain. Do you think that this has been, this carnivore diet has been successful because it eliminates harmful foods, or is there something about the meat itself that, that is beneficial?
So initially, like when I first heard about the diet and everything, I thought, oh, well, you just coincidentally cut out everything that's harming you. And it's not specifically the meat. It's just that you've coincidentally cut everything out. That being said, so then I switched over to the diet, and I was eating chicken, fish, and beef at that point. And I tried to reintroduce like something simple, like olives. It was organic olives with nothing else in them, which I would assume is something people could eat. And I had the same immune response to just olives. Mm. So now, no, I don't think it's a coincidence that you just cut out, you know, grains, processed food, sugar, soy, dairy. Well, not everybody cuts out dairy on the carnivore diet, but I don't think it's what you cut out. I think that, I don't know, it's hard to say. Like part of me thinks maybe this is what people are just supposed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess another part of me thinks, okay, well, maybe there's something wrong with us now. Like maybe after years of antibiotic use, we've damaged ourselves enough that we can't tolerate the variety that we should be able to tolerate. maybe after years of eating things we shouldn't have eaten, we can't tolerate what we're supposed to tolerate. It's hard to say, but I know it's not from coincidentally cutting out the right food, because I literally can't eat anything other than this without having an immune response.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I know recently I tried, because I'm probably just going to go all beef for a while, because I've been doing chicken and fish and beef primarily. That's mostly what it seems like my body craves. So the other day, I think it was like sometime last week, my wife, Christina, she brought home what was supposed to be organic beef sausage. And I was like, oh, cool, I can have this. And I had a couple pieces of that, and nope.
Yeah.
I think I found out it wasn't organic, so it had the nitrates and nitrites in it, but also it had a bunch of different seasonings and stuff that I don't think I can tolerate anymore. Is there a reason that is that why you don't do any other seasoning except salt?
Yeah, I can't tolerate any of the seasonings. So you have to be careful with, if you're eating all different types of meat, cured meats are always going to have added ingredients. So that includes bacon. And yeah, sausages, unless you go to a butcher and they tell you all we've added is meat and salt, it's impossible to find them without nitrates and like sometimes sugar, but at least, you know, garlic or other ingredients like that. Yeah, no seasonings for me though. I can't even do pepper.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've noticed since doing this, starting about a week or two ago, because I cut out pepper for a week and then I just decided to try it. And I got really bad heartburn from that. It was the same kind of heartburn I used to get when I was a heavy drinker and I drank all the time. And it was that same kind of heartburn. It was weird. You wouldn't think you'd get that from pepper, but I did. Now, are there there's I'm sure for people where this is brand new, a lot of questions, and there's some controversy online, due to some of this. Some common questions that, you know, usually come up are, you know, how are you getting all like your vitamins, like vitamin C, that you need to avoid things like scurvy or other things? How is somebody on this diet able to get all the vitamins they need? Do they take supplements or is the meat just enough?
So I don't take any supplements. I haven't taken any supplements since December. Mm-hmm. And I don't have scurvy. That was actually something I was worried about initially, specifically scurvy, because of where do you get the vitamin C. But it turns out that if you don't eat carbs, your body doesn't use as much vitamin C. That's basically it. I don't have any idea how this is possible vitamin-wise, but it seems to be possible. I had my blood work done, and the general blood work, cholesterol, iron, inflammatory markers, things like that. All that was normal. I have to still pick up the test to look at exactly the right values, but I just got a call from my doctor and he said, that's all normal. I'm getting my micronutrients tested through Naturopath this week, but I won't have the results for a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, I guess, from now. So I'll update my blog on that. But I figure people are really worried about vitamins. If you actually have a vitamin deficiency, you're going to have some sort of symptom. You're not just going to have a vitamin deficiency and suddenly die. Like, you're going to get really sick first. So I wouldn't particularly worry about that until you have some sort of symptom. Like, people get really sick before they're deficient and ill. It's not something that'd be asymptomatic. But I don't know how, like, people don't really know. But for some reason, you can thrive just eating meat.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's totally different than everything we've been taught since we were kids. Of course, a lot of the health stuff that we were, you know, taught a couple of decades ago have proven to be just people don't know. People just don't know. You know, I mean, we've been told since we were kids that red meat is like really bad for you. And but we're supposed to load up on carbs. Like, remember the food pyramid thing that's been long since debunked?
And milk. Make sure you drink your milk or your bones will suffer.
Yeah. And when you think about it, even in nature, I can't really think of any animal that drinks milk as an adult. You know, I mean, they need it when they're babies or whatever. But after that, it's you know, if they're carnivorous, it's meat. They don't go back to milk again. Now, because the medical science is all over the place and who knows what's going on. Do you have any worries about like heart disease or certain cancers that people try to attribute to eating like high meat or certain types of meat?
No, there's more and more evidence that, okay, well, first of all, I haven't come across a study that was actually properly done, and people are welcome to comment and post any that they're worried about, but I haven't come across a study that was properly done that actually successfully linked red meat and disease. Like a lot of the time, those studies, they don't look at factors properly. So they, like, for instance, a lot of people who switch over to the vegetarian or vegan diet are already more health conscious than people who eat red meat, because we've been told that red meat's bad. So they're already cutting down on processed food and sugar, possibly exercising more, maybe drinking and smoking less. And a lot of those studies linking red meat to health problems haven't looked at those factors. Mm. So you can't link something properly until you remove those other factors. So no, I'm not concerned at all. I also believe, you know, from being really sick and knowing what it's like to be sick, I'm not just suddenly going to have heart disease. Mm. Like, I'm going to have some symptoms first. So until I get a symptom, I'm not going to be concerned. Plus, the alternative is have an autoimmune disorder. And what kind of alternative is that?
Right. Yeah. Understandable. And a lot of those studies, too, they don't take into account that people who like eat steak every night, they also have like a loaded baked potato or fries, or, you know, they don't take any of that into account. They assume it's the steak. Well, maybe it's all the fried food that usually comes with steak.
Yeah.
Speaking of studies, are there any actual like official studies on the carnivore diet, or are the beneficial claims like primarily anecdotal?
Yeah, it's basically anecdotal. There is, let me find it. There's a group in Hungary. Let me find out what they're called. And I'm looking here.
Sure.
They're using, I might have to send that to you after, or you can put a link to it, because I can't find it right now. But
yeah, no problem.
But there is a group in Hungary, and they're doing studies on treating cancer and autoimmune disorders with an all meat diet. They're calling it the Paleolithic ketogenic diet, which is just a sneaky way of saying meat.
Yeah.
but they have some interesting studies out, but mostly, most of that's still case studies.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't really any hard evidence, like hard scientific evidence you can point people to. You can just say, here's what worked for me, and here's what worked for all these people. What do you try it out or don't? But
right. And I mean, there are people who have been doing this for 20 years and only ribeyes and water, you know, for 20 years. And I've seen the pictures. I'm in that group zeroing in on health. I mean, you look at the pictures, they look fantastic. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like from me switching over and from dad switching over, we look way better, way better.
Yeah.
Like it makes people look way better. It's almost makes you look younger, like skin wise and everything. And it doesn't take that long. Like, I switched over. Well, even like dad, cause I don't see him very often now that he's on tour. Mm-hmm. I see him about once a month, but every time he comes back, he switched over from meat and greens to just meat in April. And every time, and then he just switched to just beef. It took a while to convince him to keep cutting these things out, but he switched over to beef in, I want to say June. So recently, but he came back recently and he looks even better. His skin looks younger.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I've noticed that online too, because you know, I basically watch all of his videos. Your dad's like my hero, seriously, which you probably get a lot, but I know he does. But even going back and watching like his old Maps of Meaning lectures, he looks older and more tired. Like he looks older now. He basically looks like a he's his own son or something now. You know, he looks a lot younger. It's an amazing.
He cut down on carbs in at the end of 2015. So if you look at videos from 2015 and before, that was before he changed his diet at all. And then everything after, everything after April has been just meat.
Now, what was your dad going through? Because I know he had some issues too. So did he have similar issues to you? And did he notice the same type of improvements that you have since switching to only meat? What was the catalyst that caused him to want to go this route?
Depression, mental health.
Okay.
That was the main symptom. Now, he had a number of, compared to what I went through, his symptoms were minor, but still aggravating, just like symptoms are. Like, he was overweight and he had a very difficult time losing the weight. He had gum disease. He suffered from GERD. So it's gastric. That's the reflux disease. He was napping 2.5 hours a day, other than, and he had a very difficult time waking up. He had a patch of psoriasis. So, you know, smaller things compared to needing joints replaced, but still aggravating. And he noticed those symptoms clear up first. So when he went low carb, that, like, his gum disease went away fairly quickly. So, he noticed all that first. The mental health part has been much more difficult to get under control. So that's only really gotten under control since he went to all meat. He had less success with meat and greens than even I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in his interviews, I've heard him talk about how he would wake up in the morning with that doom. And the way that he described it was, I mean, right on a T with what I was feeling, except for me, it wasn't in the morning. It was at night. Really similar. And it cleared up. It stopped. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought when starting this, I thought, well, this will be really cheap because I'm not getting all these sides. You know, when we go grocery shopping, I'm only getting one thing. It's not cheap.
No.
So is it, have you found it to be expensive to eat this way? And are there any ways to cut down on the cost for people who might be considering it?
So ways to cut down, you can eat ground beef. You don't have to eat ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
That cuts down a lot because, you know, at least in Canada, a pound of ribeye is like, especially if it's antibiotic free, that's $20.
Yeah.
Like 20 to 30 for a pound. That's rough. Huh. You can get ground beef for $8 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's antibiotic free. If you're really like, if you don't have any money and you're sick, I don't think that there's a problem with going with like lower quality meat.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff with antibiotics, sometimes they upset my digestion, but they don't give me any other symptoms other than that. So I know that there are people who are surviving off of like Wendy's burgers because Wendy's are one of the only places that don't add ingredients to their burgers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are options that you can do. I mean, then that's probably the cheapest option, but ground beef, the only thing I would suggest with that is find a butcher. See if you can find trimmings, fat trimmings, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time they'll toss that stuff out. So you can get, that's like $2 a pound. It's really cheap. And then you can cook that. And even if you use the liquid fat, if you add that to the burgers you're eating, that raises the, because most burgers are lean and you don't really get enough fat that way. And you'll feel much more satiated if you add, and I know it probably sounds gross to people not used to eating meat, but that's a cheap way to get something that's basically as satisfying as a ribeye. Like I used to hate eating burgers, but if I add fat to it, it's like eating a ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way to do it. That's cheaper. Ribeye, that's the most expensive way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings up a good point about the fat too, because I made this mistake early on because everything I was reading said, you know, high fat. And I didn't give myself enough time to transition. So
yeah.
I thought I caught the flu or something. I got really sick, and I think it was just I was eating too much fat and my body wasn't used to using that as a fuel source yet. Have you noticed that too?
So I was already in ketosis when I started the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition period for me would be a lot less intense than for someone going from like the standard American diet to the carnivore diet, which would be and is extremely intense for some people. Especially I find the sicker you are, the harder it is to transition over. So that's why I say you have to give it a 4 to 6 weeks. But yeah, I got even just dropping salad. So I was literally eating meat and salad, and even just dropping salad, I got something that was similar to the flu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was basically there.
Huh.
So I'm not sure what that's about. But the other thing is, yeah, if you eat too much fat, especially during the beginning, it's hard to digest. And the longer I've been on this diet, the more fat I can tolerate. But it takes time. So I think that has something to do with, I don't know, producing more bile, stomach acidity, I don't know. But something changes and you can adapt to it, but give your body time to get used to it.
So do you think people starting out should stick with more leaner meats first?
Try it out. Yeah, see what happens. Like when I first started, I had an easier time digesting leaner meats. Mm-hmm. And now, but then you have to eat more. That's what I found. So the right. leaner it is, the more you have to consume. So that's not cheap. So now I know I try and eat as much fat as I can because then I just don't eat as much. Yeah. But it's harder to digest. So you have to give yourself time.
Yeah, I've noticed that with me, if I eat like in the morning, if I eat a ribeye and two eggs, that can last me all day and I won't even need to eat till the next day, you know. But if I do like chicken breasts or fish or something, I really have to eat a lot to feel full. So I've noticed that too.
Yeah, yeah.
In researching some of this, I come across some people where, you know, I thought that this was too extreme. But then again, 2 months ago, I would have thought that what I'm doing now is too extreme. So what do I know? But I've heard of people just eating raw beef, like not even cooked. Have you heard of that? What do you think about that?
I've heard of it. I haven't tried it. I probably won't try it unless I start getting symptoms.
Right.
If I got symptoms, I would do whatever it takes to get rid of them again. But I don't have any, so I don't necessarily see the need. But I'm very careful to say, like you just said, to say something silly or something strange because what I'm doing is definitely considered strange. So I don't know if it works for people. There might be people out there and that's all I can tolerate. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't lay any judgment on that stuff. And if I'm honest, I did try a spoonful of raw ground beef just to try it. I wasn't really a fan, but that's just me personally.
Yeah, yeah.
But I at least tried it. I've heard some claim, and I'm still looking into this because this is really interesting to me. I don't know if it's all plants or just some plants, but there are some people, even medical professionals and stuff, that have claimed there are harmful natural chemicals in certain plants that they produce that we eat regularly. And I'm not talking about like Roundup and pesticides and stuff. This is things that the plant will produce naturally, like harmful chemicals. So what are your thoughts on that? Have you done much research into that?
I haven't done much research into that, but yeah, it's true. Some plants are harder for us to consume because they do produce natural pesticides so that bugs won't eat them or anything won't eat them. So that could be part of the problem.
Right.
I'm probably leaning more towards microbiome problems. So we're missing the gut bacteria diversity that we're supposed to have in order to tolerate some vegetables. I also think years of eating grain, like people aren't supposed to eat grain. I mean, cows can eat grain and they have a whole bunch of stomachs. Like they're not like us at all.
Right.
So I think years of eating things like that mess you up, and sugar, right? Stuff like that. Even dairy, like, I don't think that's something we're really supposed to be eating. Mm-hmm. And then people say, oh, well, we've been eating this for 10,000 years. What's 10,000 years? Like, really, in the grander scheme of things, that's not very long.
Right.
And then you can look at things like people are sick, especially North Americans, right, with autoimmune disorders and mental health issues and cancer and heart disease. And if you look in the animal kingdom, animals aren't sick unless we feed them.
That's true.
And then they're sick. So that seems like a pretty good argument. I mean, like dogs and cats get cancer too, right? But we're not feeding them meat and they are carnivores. Mm-hmm. That's actually what they should definitely be eating. And it's still like first ingredients, alfalfa or something. And yeah.
Yeah, that was something that blew my mind when my good friend Joe Artis Horn, he's another author friend of mine. He wrote a book called Dead Pets Don't Lie, and it's all about the pet food industry and how there are no regulations whatsoever, at least not here in America. I don't know if it's different in Canada or other countries, but here in America, there are no regulations whatsoever as to what actually goes into pet food. You know, we got all sorts of regulations for human food, but for pet food, there are none. And just that fact alone blew my mind, and the rest of the book did too. But he wrote that, and then he recently wrote a book called Time Bomb, which was all about gut health, because he dealt with a lot of issues that he reversed through through diet, which is what first got me interested in this. You also have a child, and now this is something that I was curious about, being a dad myself and soon to be a dad of four. Are there things that you are doing differently for your child's health that you might not have thought of before learning about the carnivore diet?
Oh, or just learning about diet in general?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And right now I've introduced meat.
How old is your child?
She's almost a year. She's going to a year on August 6th. Yeah. So I will introduce vegetables after she's about a year, but from research, and there is research coming out comparing babies fed dairy versus meat or formula versus meat. So there are some studies coming out in that area, and it looks like meat is a really good thing for babies to have at the beginning, mm-hmm. rather than what people are told to give babies as their first food, which is generally iron fortified cereal. And yeah. I don't know how anybody, like, once you really think about it, it's, they need extra iron, theoretically. So give them something that doesn't naturally have iron that we've added iron to rather than just meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm being very careful with her also, because I don't know how much of this is genetic and I don't know how much of it's caused by childhood damage. So I am being really careful and very slow, and I'll be introducing things very slowly so I can monitor like her mood and digestion and everything. So yeah, I'm being careful right now. It's just breast milk and meat.
Well, that's good that you've been able to keep that up for a year. My wife breastfed our youngest son, Adam. She wasn't able to with the other two kids because of work. And also we just didn't know anything, and we were really ignorant about health and diet and stuff. So, yeah, but
well, also nobody's told, right? If you go to a doctor, they don't tell you that. Even like my midwife, when she was born, like it took a couple of days for my milk to come in, and they're like, oh, just give her a bottle of formula. Mm-hmm. I was like, the formula is like corn syrup and soy. I'm not doing that. But that's what you're told. So it's understandable. People don't look into it.
Did you do a home birth?
I did.
Yeah. With our first two, we did hospital. And then with our most recent one, so he's two now, Adam, we did a home birth, and Christina breastfed for, you know, the first year. And we're never going back. I mean, unless it is an emergency, we're not going back. The home birth thing was so good. What was your experience with it?
It was great. It was great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I was really worried about ending up in a hospital, because I was like, you know, as soon as you're in a hospital, the rates of obviously the rates of things they do in the hospital go up. So C-section and all this stuff. And I looked at the statistics, and it was like, oh, home birth isn't actually any more dangerous, especially we're in downtown. We're 5 minutes away from a hospital. Mm-hmm. So statistically, I thought it was actually safer to give birth at home to avoid all of these interventions that were possible. And because I was born through a C-section and I'm really sick, or was really sick, I definitely didn't want, I really wanted to be in control.
Yeah.
So I was much more comfortable. Like the lights were dim. There weren't machines around and horrible smells and people looking at me. I could just like calmly get through a really intense experience. And then afterwards I was at home. So it was great.
Yeah, that's how it was for us too. It was awesome. And Christina was way more comfortable with it. And
yeah.
Also they don't pump you full of drugs, which you know is nice, because she's into the all natural, you know, birthing and all that stuff. So that's awesome. Now have you personally heard of anybody having a negative reaction to trying to eat only meat? And if so, what might have caused that?
No. So most people I've talked to, well, that's not true. One person. Mm-hmm. So first, most people I've talked to, they'll say, oh, something isn't working for me. And I'll be like, well, what exactly are you eating? And generally they're eating bacon in the morning, mm-hmm. and generally that has sugar in it. So that's one thing you got to get rid of. And I'm like, well, are you doing the carnivore diet? Are you drinking coffee? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm also drinking coffee. Like, okay, well maybe it's the coffee. Or, I haven't heard anyone who's been eating beef, salt, and water have a bad time, especially after the transition period. Mm-hmm. So and people who haven't messed up. Like, I know that if I mess up and eat something wrong, I have a reaction and it lasts depending on how much of it I eat. So it doesn't really happen anymore, but the reaction lasts quite a number of weeks, like 3.5 weeks.
Wow. You have to deal with it for that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I couldn't imagine that. I had 3 uncomfortable hours when I, you know, ate that sausage. I can't imagine going 3 weeks. Wow. What a nightmare.
Oh man. Yeah. Dad too. Oh. 3.5. Yeah. It's bad.
So that whole process of you trying to figure out what works and what doesn't, was every time you made a change, you had to wait?
Wow. A month. Yeah. Oh God, it was hell.
Yeah.
If I had known that I could just go down to meat, I would have given up and just gone down to meat.
Well,
way faster.
Hopefully all the pain and suffering you had to go through can help somebody else out. I know that there's a ton of people that watch my show that deal with a lot of similar things. So hopefully this will save them from having to go through all that. Wow. Three to four weeks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Really bad. Especially with like what would happen is, so first I'd wake up, depends how much of what I ate. It depends how bad the reaction was, but for bad ones, I'd wake up the next day and I'd be itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my legs would be really itchy again. And then I just wouldn't feel very good. Sometimes I'd be really energetic, like wired.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day after that, the depression would start to come back. And then by like day 4, the depression would be back. And then the worst days for the depression were like days 8 to 14. And then it would start lifting up again. But then around day 14, my arthritis would come back. So it'd take that long for the arthritis to start. And then it would take about 24 days for the entire thing to end. Wow. And so for the first year I was doing that, literally just like circling a date on my calendar, being like, okay, that's when I'll feel better, waiting. And then I'd have a couple good days and I'd get some craving and reintroduce something else that would go terribly.
Mm.
So it was a rough year.
So you probably have no interest in trying to, in the future, trying to reintroduce things. So do you think that this is the deal like forever for you now?
Yeah, I think so. Like, there are people have been, you know, wondering, I get a lot of emails about like, have you tried all these different things? Do you have Lyme disease? Like that kind of thing. And yes, most of those things I've tried. I can't, like I thought at the beginning, so stop eating what's irritating you. You can heal your gut, then start eating fermented foods and you can maybe regrow a microbiome you're missing and then you'll be able to reintroduce foods. But I can't tolerate anything fermented. I can't tolerate probiotics. Even the pure stuff, I bought powder, it was pure. I can't do that at all. So, and I'm happy like this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me at all. Grocery shopping's easy. I spend no time cooking. I'm never craving anything and I really like everything I eat.
Yeah.
So why would I change?
Yeah, no kidding. And that was what surprised me about this too. I mean, like I said at the you know, beginning of the interview, I always have craved protein in the morning. Like I cannot get through the day. I'll get sick or get dizzy if I don't have, I've always been like that. Since doing this, I haven't really had any cravings for like breads or stuff that I would have considered my favorite foods, you know, last month, you know, like fried chicken. I used to eat that all the time. I haven't had a single craving for that. Also, going back to something that you said a minute ago, with, you know, people will say, have you tried? I've noticed a few years ago, I quit eating pork altogether. I basically read a couple articles and got scared of the, you know, all the bad stuff in it and just didn't want anything to do with it. But also my wife is Messianic Jewish. So she holds to the, you know, biblical eating laws and stuff like that. So we just didn't have it in the house and I just quit eating it. And I sort of missed it for a little while, but I noticed after a couple of months of that, I tried to eat it again and I just flat out couldn't process it. I mean, it was terrible. I did some research and found out that people who eat pork, they have like some kind of acid or enzyme or something in their stomach that's not naturally supposed to be there, I guess, that you lose when you stop eating it. So then if you try to eat it again, your stomach just can't, it doesn't know what to do with it. It can't break it down. So I thought that was interesting. But strangely enough, when I stopped eating bacon, so during like social events and stuff, if they were serving ham at like Christmas or something like that, and I didn't want any, there was always a lot of like, well, why? You know, a lot of questions, and it's almost like, does it really matter that much? So I'm real excited to see when people find out that I'm doing this now. But have you gotten a lot of that kind of stuff?
So fortunately or unfortunately, I was in the category of sick enough that when people say, well, why are you doing this? And I say, oh, it's to treat, you know, the hip and ankle replacement I ended up with at 17, mm-hmm. and it's working, and now my arthritis is gone. They're just like, oh, they've also seen the difference, like what I used to be like to now, and you can't argue with that. Right. So I got quite a bit of skepticism and eye rolling at the beginning when I was doing low carb, and I was like, oh my God, look at all these foods and what they're doing to me. But I'm a lot more sure of myself now. And I was so shocked for so long that, yeah, it's weird socially, but whatever. Like most people you see socially too are suffering from something themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's weird socially. I actually think the carnivore diet is less weird socially. Like when I stopped going out altogether, I used to eat out all the time. And then I went on this elimination diet and started being really careful and just stopped going out because ordering made me so anxious.
Yeah.
So it's like, is the grill clean? These are all the things I'm allergic to. Here's like 12 items that can't touch my food. And it was just like horrible to order like that. Mm. I always didn't like the people in restaurants that did that. So I just stopped going out, but now I can go out and say, okay, I want this steak. I want this medium rare. Don't put anything on it because I'm literally allergic to everything mm-hmm. and it can't be contaminated. Thank you. And that's a lot easier than being like, what's in your salad?
Yeah.
Like, does it, what kind of oil are you using as a dressing? So it's actually, I think this is, it's weirder, but it's also less weird socially. It's a lot easier to say, all I want is a ribeye, than I'll have a ribeye and these are the ingredients you can use to make my salad and this is the dressing I can eat.
Yeah, and so, I think it makes it easier on the cook too.
Yeah, definitely.
I know I cook all my own food and it certainly has made it easier for me. Like I said before, I mean, I do like reverse searing, so it's like super easy. You know, throw it in the oven, forget about it for half an hour and then fry it for a couple minutes. It's great. But yeah, that's worked out really well for me. And see, I'm working from home now. I work at Skywatch TV and I'm working at home because I had this whole knee thing that I had to deal with. And, what I'm hoping, I mean, everyone I work with is cool. No one's going to give me any problems about it, but I'm also not a health expert. So I'm sure that people are going to have a lot of questions I won't know how to answer. But I'm hoping that by then I can drop enough weight that it'll just be obvious. Well, this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've also noticed that online, everybody, and I'm sure this video is going to get it in the comment section. Everyone's a health expert, yet no one knows anything about health. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. This diet's hard too because it is all anecdotal.
Yeah.
So people go, well, where are the scientific studies?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I don't care. And you can't say, you know, these thousands of people are wrong. And you definitely can't say that it's not working for me.
Right.
But yeah, people say, well, where's the evidence? But you can't really argue with someone who says, you know, you could try it for 4 to 6 weeks and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to do that, then we really don't have anything to talk about.
That's right. I want to help promote your website and some stuff that you got coming up. So right now you have a survey on your website. Can you tell us about that? You know, what is it and why and how should people get involved with this survey?
So I started the survey before I started looking into diet, actually. And it kind of lists a whole bunch of health symptoms that people don't generally consider as health problems. So like floaters or mouth ulcers or cold hands, like really, there are some large symptoms on there, but it's basically a list of symptoms and it's a personality test. It takes a while to fill out. So it takes a solid half hour to fill out, which I know is asking a lot, but I'm collecting data to see if I can find any patterns. There are also questions about diet in there mm-hmm. To see what comes up. And thousands of people have filled it in so far, so it's going to be really interesting. But it would be good for people to fill it out before they start any diet.
Okay.
Or if they're on a diet, like fill out the symptoms you're currently suffering from. So if you've had symptoms that are alleviated, don't put those in. But that I'm going to let it run for a number of months more before I start looking into the data. But hopefully that'll show something, or at least it'll show how symptoms clump. Mm-hmm. So if you're suffering from, and it'll also show maybe what personality traits are likely if you're sick or something like that. I don't know what kind of information will come out of it, but it's going to be interesting, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like it. Where can people go to do the survey?
So I'll send you a link, but my blog is michaelapeterson.com. The blog's called Don't Eat That. Mm-hmm. And the survey is there. I also have, articles there. I have to force myself to sit down and write a little bit more. I've been really busy in the last month, but the blog gets updated regularly. I'm starting consultations actually. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in that, I know sometimes getting started with these diets is weird, especially if you start from scratch. And I'm also writing a book.
That was the next thing I was going to ask. Speaking of writing, and by the way, just for the audience who hasn't been able to check out your blog, I'm a writer too. Fantastically written, and it's really entertaining. It's funny and it's informative too. Plus, a lot of great recipes, some of which we've tried here, and fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. So people should go check that out. Michaela Peterson.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. MichaelaPeterson.com. I'll put a link in the description below, but if people are listening to the podcast, it's MichaelaPeterson.com. People should definitely check that out. So you're writing a book. Yeah, tell us all about that.
So I'm writing basically, what happened to me, mostly focused on health. Mm-hmm. From the ages of, zero to now. So it's going to go through, what having an autoimmune disorder and being that sick is like, same with the mental health aspect, and then kind of the journey of how I started looking into diet in the first place and then up until now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be entertaining. We'll see. Some parts are a little bit depressing, but
sure,
it ends well.
Is it more of like a personal memoir kind of thing, or is it?
Yeah.
Or is it, okay.
So I'm doing that, and then I'm also working on a couple of how-to guides.
Oh, cool. Are those going to
be
like online, or are those going to be like in print form?
No, I'll put them online first anyway. But so then I'm hoping to get a how-to for the carnivore diet and a how-to for eliminating, for a simpler elimination diet. But I do recommend just doing the carnivore diet.
Yeah, definitely. When you have those out, if you're interested, I'd love to have you back on to help promote them. Now, do you, we've talked about a lot of benefits that have been able to come out of this, diet. From your own personal experience, if you had to pick, if there even are any, what would you say the worst thing about it has been?
Socially.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, going out for sushi is nice.
Right.
So socially, even going over for barbecues is nice. So that, other than that, nothing.
Yeah. I'm too early in to really know for me. Like I said, I haven't really had any cravings for like half an hour yesterday. I was craving dark chocolate, but it went away after I had a steak, which is weird. But
yeah.
But I haven't really noticed that. It's so far, and again, I'm only 3 weeks into it, but so far it's been nothing but beneficial. For people watching this, what message would you want? Would you most want people to take away from this interview?
I would say if you're suffering from, anything, weight gain, just any type of health problem, especially mental health, at least give looking into diet a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I would obviously suggest starting with a carnivore diet because I know it works for me and I haven't seen it not work, but at least consider that that's an option, because I didn't for a long time and it cost me a hip and an ankle.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get to that. The other thing I would say is even healthy people listening to the podcast or watching the video, eventually, if you keep eating the standard American diet, you won't be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You might be healthy till you're 50. And if you're healthy till you're 50, you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't last past that. So you have to eventually look into diet and at least, well, do a little bit, at least be open-minded enough to look into it.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with all that. And for anybody out there too, if simplicity is your game like it is for me, this is so the diet for you. I've never been able to do a diet. You know, this is the first one that I've been able to actually stick to, and it's not really that difficult. But I agree with all that. Now, if people want to find more about you, view your recipes, keep up with your blog, follow you online, where are all your outlets? Where can they go?
They can go to Facebook. So I have a Facebook page and it's facebook.com/thecarnivorediet. Mm-hmm. So that's following me on Facebook, and I usually put blog posts up there. It might be easier to follow than the blog. I don't know. I have an Instagram page. That's just Michaela Alexis. And the blog.
Great. And I will have all those links in the description below. So if you're viewing this on YouTube, you can go to the description below, check out those links, make sure to follow Michaela everywhere she is available. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can go to joshpeckdisclosure.com/podcast, click on the link there to this episode. And in that description, the links will be in there. Well, Michaela, this has been an absolute blast. I really could talk about this all day, but I don't want to keep you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us. And I'm really hoping and hoping that this will help out some people in the audience.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for inviting me on, and good luck with the diet.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Until next time, everybody, take care and God bless.